Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. This works. Hey everybody, welcome to AnCast Live at Anime Expo 2014. Thanks for showing up. We do this every year. Now we do it for an hour and a half. And I made sure to bring enough prizes to fill that hour and a half out. So hopefully you have stuff for us to talk about. As usual, there's a good bag and a bad bag. And, you know, depending on what you ask, you might get something from both, or who knows. But plenty of stuff to give out. But first, Justin, yes. How's it going?
Holy shit, this convention is crowded.
Hey, this is a PG-13 panel.
Holy poop, this convention is crowded.
Well, actually, by PG-13 movie rules, we can say shit as much as we want. We only get one F-bomb.
I call it.
Okay. All right. So we'll try and be good, but try and be good with the language, which is really going to be tough because I don't think there's ever been an episode where we didn't have like 20 swear words or more. Like normally, it's more than that.
Well, there were, but it was always when we had like some really important guest and we were being all polite.
Yeah, like Carl Horn would show up and we'd be.
Yeah, we're not gonna
manners.
We don't have manners in front of
these guys. Yeah, the riffraff. You've only been here for what? A couple hours?
Yeah, I got here around 11:30 this morning and just. I'm told it was way, way, way worse yesterday because they didn't turn on the AC until like noon.
The thing is, they didn't keep the AC on overnight or something like that, and then that so the building wasn't cool when people started piling in, and then they turned it on in the morning and it wasn't effective. You know, like in the summertime, you have to turn your AC on like 10 a.m. in order for it to be cool at 2.
Right.
That's what happened, I guess. That's what I heard, anyway. And I guess their attendance is way up, which, wandering the halls, yes, I think attendance is way up.
It's getting like Comic-Con level crowded.
I guess for the space.
Room, it's pretty.
Yeah, dealer's room's pretty bad. Pretty.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Sentai's back with their drum.
Yeah.
For anyone who wasn't doing conventions like 5 or 6 years ago when they were still ADV, they would just bang this drum and just like. It would be like tipping a bathtub, like. Everyone would just drain to that corner of the convention center and like, oh my god, free t-shirt! And just, no.
Yeah, people mauling each other for a 2-cent, like, rubber plastic wristband or whatever. Like.
Or my personal favorite, the Najika Blitz Tactics panties.
Yeah, they would just, well, it was all unsold merchandise, so they'd be throwing like, hey, we have remaindered Menchie dolls from 5 years ago.
Yeah, they'd throw them and they just hit the concrete, people would just.
Yeah.
You can still buy those if RightStuff.com.
I'm positive you can. So I've been here since Wednesday, and it's pretty like it's really really packed. The convention seems to be just about as it always was. They're still having like this went pretty speedy because there's not that many people in here. Thanks to everyone for showing up. But I was in here earlier for Sentai Filmworks, and they had an hour, and they started 15 minutes late because the queue is all like downstairs or something like that. So it takes forever for them to get everyone in here, and then they got to speed through the panel.
Right.
And it's a little. I wish they would figure that out. Like Comic-Con has it figured out. Like. A lot of other conventions
makes you wait for 5 hours.
To an extent. Like I've been there; it's much better managed. Now, I've been at that convention a lot. I went 8 years in a row. Mm-hmm. I don't go anymore
because it's hell.
Because it's hell. But they've got it figured out. I really want AX to figure it out because I know. Like I was in here again for Viz Media the day before, and Charlene was up here giving a presentation and was clearly a little irritated that it took forever for everyone to get in the room, and they lost like 10 minutes of panel time. And if you're like an organization and you put all this work into your presentation and you time it out and you rehearse it and you get there and they just lop off 25% of your time because they're getting people into the room, yeah, I could totally see getting irritated with that. Like,
yeah, that's pretty rough. I mean, luckily we don't prepare anything.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about this. Like, 10 minutes ago I was like, oh, better go over there. Like, normally, you're right, I'm not. Normally we have a lot of guests. Last year we had plenty of guests, but this year we didn't fly anyone in. And Mike Tool's in Brazil for the World Cup, so he's right. Not here.
Clearly he knows. Clearly that man knows what side his bread is buttered on.
Yeah, hope Chapman will be in here a little later. Our panel's conflicted just a little bit, but she'll be in here helping us kill time. And have you watched any anime lately, Justin?
Actually, yes. I just got my my Anime Souls disc of Dear Brother.
Man, that cover is dire.
Oh, you should see the fucking menus. Oh, Jeff, there goes our bomb.
That was our one.
I wasted.
Very sorry. We're very sorry.
One more.
Yeah, it looks like, you know those bootlegs they sell on eBay of stuff that never actually came out on DVD, and it's just old Laserdisc rips with this really janky homemade menu?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Way to go, Sam.
Well, apparently Tezuka made those.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm just like...
In an afternoon.
Afternoon, try like 20 minutes, you know, while eating lunch. It's bad. Like, they didn't even get key art that was sized correctly.
Oh, man.
It's really bad looking.
Well,
luckily, the video's fine. And the you know, the jacket, who cares? I just, you know, take that off and throw it in a file drawer anyway. But
right.
It's, I mean, I'm happy it finally came out, but I'm looking at the disc, I'm like, this would have taken me an afternoon start to finish. Why did it take him 4 or 5 months to ship this? I don't understand.
Mm. Well... That's a little bit of a letdown. How much did that cost? Like, what was the baseline price? Like, $40?
Yeah, I mean, it's not... 60, I think. Which isn't that bad for 13 episodes of a really, you know, a show that's going to sell a couple hundred copies.
Yeah, a couple hundreds, I think, is generous, but, yeah.
That's how many people, you know...
Bought it
already, okay, yeah, so...
That's the pre-sold number, so,
right.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Yeah, no, I... That's
super over the top, super melodramatic.
Yeah. Well, but again, like, we just had Sam on the show, and yeah. He was saying, like, basically, if you want any of that Anime Soul stuff, like, your Creamy Mommies, your Brother Dear Brothers,
buy it,
because they only made, like, 500 or 1,000 of them, and that's it. So what exists now is the only product that's out there.
So. It is so over the top, you know, the previews for the next episode, every one of them ends with, Brother, is there no end to my tears?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so... I'll talk about. I did watch some summer season, believe it or not, which started on Wednesday.
I don't know how you had time.
In the hotel, finish up work and then work some more. So.
I tried to watch some the other night, but Crunchyroll was down for few hours. Yeah, for me anyway.
No, I didn't have that problem.
Or maybe they're just specifically blocking me.
Yeah. So I watched some of that stuff. But I did want to comment. So I was in the Sentai Filmworks panel earlier, and they showed a clip of the dub of Watamote, one of my favorite shows from last year. I loved that show. And I made you watch it for our Christmas swap.
Yes, I watched the whole thing, and I was not as enamored with it as you were, but I was... I thought it was noteworthy.
Yeah, so, like, I'll fully admit, like, while watching that show, I was like, man, do I ever want to see this dubbed? Because it just didn't seem like something that would translate very well, like, to English. Like, it's all in the tone and, like, delivery, and it's a real specific tone on that show.
Yeah, how do you... It's really hard to voice-wise portray just kind of, like, injured soul.
Yeah, right.
Injured soul who's trying.
Yeah, so they showed a clip of the dub, and gotta tell you, wasn't happy with it. It's, you know, God bless Monica Rial, she's a great voice actress. Whoever's directing her, I don't think was giving her great material to work with or very good direction. She's doing like it's really over the top cartoony, like super raspy, like Nickelodeon. Somebody said, I think the joke I made on Twitter was like, this sounds like it was made for Nickelodeon, like in the 90s. Someone says like, oh, she sounds like a Rugrat. And I said, yes. Yeah, it's Tommy Pickles or whatever as, what's her name? But it's really raspy and, you know, like, how do I dress like a slut? You know, like, that's the way it sounds like.
Although I'm disappointed in that, I'm kind of looking forward to the sound bites.
Yeah, it's gonna be, I just wasn't happy with it, and like...
It's a Sentai dub. When was the last time they had made a good dub? Seriously, when was it?
I'll get back to you on that. I'm also like sort of an outspoken critic of like the Evangelion dubs because I think those ruin the tone of that show.
Yeah, well,
and
they're terrible.
They're awful, and they get really cartoony and over the top. And those performances, like even with the new movies, I think they ruin the tone of those movies, kind of spoil it. It's just not right. And
I think the new movies turned out a lot better.
They turned out a little bit better. I still don't think they're very good, but I'm a weirdo when it comes to that kind of thing. It's the same kind of problem. It's a tone issue. It's like, you're taking this to a 10, and it was a 6 before.
Right.
You know, so that's my problem with it. So that's sort of my comment on that. But so I watched some new stuff. I watched Tokyo Ghoul, which,
yeah.
It's cannibals. And it's, lots of stuff set at nighttime with neon backlighting and, you know, that kind of, like, exactly what you would expect from, like, a late-night horror anime. Looks exactly like it. No surprises.
Gotcha.
Not bad. Not bad at all. But I would, you know, give it, like, a 3 on the preview guide, which I guess I'll do on Monday when I get home or Sunday when I get home.
3 being, I guess, this is acceptable.
Yeah, like, this is fine. Sure. Yeah.
This exists.
Yeah, right. I watched Glass Lip, which is a slice of life show about teenage glass blowers. In love. During the summertime.
I was really hoping it'd be about someone with like a perpetually broken jaw or something.
Yeah, it's like a Hajime no Ippo spinoff or something.
Totally.
The Glass Joe story. Yeah, something like that. No, it's slice of life, and I was immediately bored, so nope. What was the other thing? Loco Doll?
Yeah, Loco Doll.
El Pollo Loco Doll? Idols in love.
Supposed to be like locavore meets idol.
Yeah. Nice. Creepy, like high school girls pushed into some sort of idol career by their fathers, and oh no, I'm in a bikini. And,
oh no.
Nope. Next, yeah.
Oh no, this businessman wants to.
A lot of nopes. A lot of nopes so far. I'm just counting down the minutes until Space Dandy on Saturday. I just can't wait for more Space Dandy. I have become like a weirdo fan of that show. Like I go to the exhibit floor and I'm like, why don't they have any Space Dandy anything? I would buy anything, anything. You put a napkin in front of me, I would buy a Space Dandy napkin. They don't make anything. So, like, I guess all that merchandise will be out in the fall or something.
Yeah, it usually takes, like, a lot of times it's not out right away.
Yeah.
It takes, like, 6 months or so.
So I'm really looking forward to that. But, yeah, so far the spring season's off to summer. I always say spring. Summer season's off to kind of a normal start. There wasn't anything that really stuck out to me.
Summer is always kind of a slow season, but you know that we have the new Teenagers Do 9/11 show.
Teenagers Do 9/11 show?
Yeah, the new Watanabe show. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Oh, Terror in Resonance or whatever.
Yeah, Terror in Resonance.
Called.
It has a Yoko Kanno soundtrack. It's dark. I am so there.
Yeah. Did you, actually, I meant to ask you this. Did you watch the leaked Sailor Moon footage?
I did.
What did you think? Yeah.
Why did they go cel-shaded?
No, the CG looks bad.
I mean, it's like...
Did anyone else watch that? Leaked Sailor Moon, yeah, right, everybody, like, yeah, I watched the leak. Oh, I read the scanlations, yeah. It was just a YouTube, I know, I'm joking.
It looks, it's so ragdoll-y, looks like some PS1 game.
So, I expected it to look like that, because it's Toei, and that's how they produce Precure. So it's going to look like Precure, right? What I didn't expect was, like, I was already, I think a lot of people are maybe with me on this a little bit, iffy on those character designs, right? Like, the animation character, the new animation character designs based on the manga.
They're
like
really
a little
skinny.
Yeah, well, they're really skinny, and Sailor Moon has, like, I made, like, a comparison image where her head, if you actually trace the outline of her skull, she looks like one of the aliens from This Island Earth. Like, her head is gigantic. But it's the hair. It's this giant hair. And I was hoping it wasn't going to animate that way, where the hair moves. The hair doesn't really move. It just kind of, it's one solid piece.
Yeah,
and she's doing this. It's, like, super stiff. The whole thing is so stiff. Like, it just doesn't translate to movement. And I was really let down. I was like, man, this doesn't, you know, I'm not, like, a big Sailor Moon fan or anything, but that show's important. And it's important that it's a success. But at the same time, I understand that the point of that show is to sell it to rich Japanese moms who now have kids. Like, that's the point. Like, yeah. those character designs and everything, and that's sort of Takeuchi's thing,
sure,
is fashion magazines. So those characters get redesigned and put into fashion magazine ads. That's what you're looking at. It's like an animated version of Sailor Moon that's designed to look like an ad in a fashion magazine. So the animation's super stiff, and that's who they're selling it to, is, I guess, people who don't particularly care that much about that, but
I honestly, I think people like us will complain, and the actual fans of the actual market for that show won't give two shits.
They'll just eat it up.
Yeah, it's,
yeah. Or they'll just wait. They'll just wait for the old show to come out again if they don't like the new one.
Right, and there's a lot of that, so that's
no
fine.
Kidding. Yeah. A lot of that. Okay, well, we are... What time is it?
It is 6:01.
Okay, so we should start taking questions because I have so much stuff to give away. So let me... Oh, hey, Hope's here.
Hey!
Everybody welcome Hope Chapman. How's it going?
Good.
Is that on?
No.
Hey, quick, guys, can we
get this mic on
you?
Over here? Hey, can we get this mic on?
No.
Okay.
Yay.
Okay.
I just got down out of a panel. It was kind of a mess, I think. Hopefully.
I was there for most of it. It went pretty good.
It was just word vomit. It was like, here's 5 years of my life. There we go.
Yeah. We were just talking about the summer season so far, and we were watching some stuff earlier. I gave my totally dismissive BS opinion. What did, any comments so far? I mean, people can read your stuff in the summer preview guide starting probably Monday.
Yeah.
But I guess give us a glimpse.
I mean, there's only a couple things out right now. It's just little bits. But the stuff that I noticed that's like, oh, this is kind of neat, is more free, which is great. And they don't. The funny thing about, like, this season is they clearly know, like, who the audience for this is. Like, the first season was, they were, like, a little more reserved. They were like, oh, this is kind of a sports show. I mean, there's some objectification, but it's sports for people who like sports shows. And now it's like, touch each other, take your pants off, and it's like, that's the whole show. Like, the whole episode is just like, we know this is for Joshi. We know. And so it's fun. And
I was going to say, the first season was remarkably not gay.
It was toned down. And then this one, they're like, mm.
And now they'll just be like, just sort of making out, like, every episode.
Well, not exactly. Like, they have to almost, but not quite.
Right.
But, like, and then the other thing I noticed was Tokyo Ghoul, which is, like, super, the narrative is, like, super not cliche, but standard, like, boilerplate vampire story, except instead of sucking blood, they eat entire bodies. So, because they're not vampires, they're ghouls. So it's like, oh no, I'm one of the undead. Let me, like, cannibalize someone, which is more fun to watch, I think.
Impressive they can even adjust the bones.
I think that came out wrong. It's horror. Like, it's genuine horror, and the budget's pretty good on it, at least for the first episode. So it's like, you know, people getting their guts ripped out. Yeah, that's fun. That's fun. I like that. So.
So that's pretty much what's notable.
I think, yeah, that I've seen so far, yeah.
Doesn't it? So the other thing on, so it was like Fujoshi Wednesday.
Yeah.
So they had free, and then they had that weird Bakumatsu rock thing.
It was made for like 2 pennies in pocket lint, I think.
Yeah.
It's real cheap, and it just came off of watching, which have a review of that, like, done finishing Utano Prince Sama, which is the pop song Prince thing with a budget, like, has money behind it, and they still have to cut corners a little bit, but it's like, there's pretty good animation in that several times throughout. And, like, there's, like, two songs in every episode. Most of the songs are actually pretty good. They're J-pop good, like, so that's a bar. But, like, they're decent J-pop, and they're, like, thematically appropriate to the moment. They're not just, like, super generic. Like, they're themed to the moment of this. It's musical-ish. This is, like, it's, yeah, Bakumatsu Rock thing is really cheap, and the songs are terrible.
All right. Okay, so why don't we go ahead and take a question. Basically, just give us something to talk about and you'll win a prize. We have a wireless mic up here.
That was just there. Well, you don't know who drank that.
Okay, why don't you line up over here and we'll...
Yeah, okay, I guess make a line. We'll do it this way.
Sorry, they're already starting.
Oh, yeah, well, people have been here before. Yeah, okay.
Thank you. That's on. Yeah, go ahead. It's on.
Howdy.
Hello.
I was curious, do you think the reason Dark Horse announced the continuing Kurosaki Corps delivery service yesterday was because they had the creator out here?
I don't think that's the reason they announced it.
I think it's more like the other way around. The creator's here because they were announcing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's cool that they're bringing that back, or at least it's not going out of print.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're gonna start you out real simple here. Here's a random One Piece set.
Yes. Okay, one of my favorite.
Volume 5, season a billion, or something like that. What's up?
Hey, so actually, my question is directed specifically at Justin. I wanted to know what was it like authorizing the DVD and Blu-ray for Time Loop?
Oh, yeah.
Can we mention this real fast?
Yeah, sure.
This is a little weird, actually. We're going to do an episode, or rather, I'm going to do an episode where he is the guest on the show. A lot of people don't know this. Justin authorizes, like...
Authors
a tremendous amount of anime Blu-rays for companies that everyone has heard of and Blu-rays that people purchase. So we're just going to have him on, like, to talk about his line of work now, which is not Anime News Network and not journalism or anything like that anymore.
I'm doing, like, maybe 10 hours a week for Anime News Network.
Yeah, so your life is now making anime Blu-rays, basically,
yeah.
And... So our next episode after this one will likely be that, and so you'll get the whole story then. But I just wanted to pimp that.
Okay,
go ahead.
Thanks. Just to give you a little teaser that I'll probably get more into next week, but long. There are 20 subtitle tracks on the main feature. Yeah, and there's so much on screen text. It was very 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 hard. But it's done. It's in the oven. I'm really happy about that. So, yeah, hopefully they'll be going out sooner rather than later.
Okay. Don't you want a prize? Don't you want Dragon Ball Z Kai Season 4, Episodes 78 through 98?
Yeah, you gave me one of the other Kais at Anime LA.
Oh, wait. You like Dragon Ball? Here's Dragon Ball Season 2 on Blu-ray. There you go. Cropped for your pleasure.
So, do you guys have any thoughts about Ping Pong, the animation? I thought it was pretty
brilliant. It was pretty, but it took what an already slow feature film did in an hour and a half and dragged it across episodes and episodes and episodes. It did not strike me. I mean, I love Yuasa's art style, but I think he sometimes needs to work on his pacing. He wasn't even the writer on that show, so I don't know what to do about that.
Yeah, I feel bad. I feel like I'm supposed to love that show, and I don't, because it puts me to sleep right away. I've seen the film as well, and yeah, like Justin's right. Like, once you've seen that material truncated down, it doesn't need to be 6 hours long, or however long the TV show is.
It wasn't that long of a manga.
Yeah, it wasn't. I admire Yuasa as an artist, and I'm always interested in what he's doing, and... like, we watched his Adventure Time episode, which was, like, the most Yuasa-y thing ever. Like, it was fantastic. But I would really like 10 minutes out of Yuasa. And, like, we got that with, like, Kick Heart. Like, that was...
We got that with Genius Parody.
I think he's best in short subject. I really do.
He might be like Rintaro, one of those people where you give him a long... He's amazing short form, but you give him a long narrative arc, and he just doesn't know what to do with it.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. He is a beloved guy for a reason.
I hate to damn him by comparing him to Rintaro.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. I don't know. What did you think of Ping Pong?
I saw the whole thing, so I mean, it had my attention enough to watch all of it, but it was nice to look at, but sometimes it kind of fell apart, but like, it was fun to watch visually, but I just didn't connect to the characters. I think Yuasa's characterization tends to be a little bit more like, he's one of those people, like, who sees a character from the inside out in a subjective perspective, which is normally, like, super good for getting it into the character's head. But when he does it, I'm confused. I don't, like, understand what they're feeling. I just feel like I'm looking out through their eyes, and I don't have any idea where their heart's at. And Ping Pong was like that. So, I mean, Kaiba was like that, and Ping Pong was like that, too. So I didn't connect with it. Like, it was interesting to look at, but I didn't feel, like, really close to any of the characters. So, yeah.
All right. You asked about Ping Pong, and it just so happens that I have a copy of Balls of Fury.
It's faster paced. We'll give it that.
I just want to talk about how do you feel about Netflix's marketing of Macedonia kind of being an original production, even though they're the ones who kind of pay for the dub?
Well, I mean, Netflix isn't directly producing any of their shows. You know, it's Sony making House of Cards. It's who's it making? Orange is the New Black?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lionsgate, thank you. So it says an original production. It's an exclusive, and it's an original production as anything else on Netflix. It's an exclusive, so...
Yeah, it doesn't... I guess it doesn't bother me. I don't care. I mean, I still need to check that out. I haven't gone to... see it yet.
Yeah, I need to also, and I hear it's very good, so.
Yeah, everyone's saying it's really good. I have noticed, like, I'm seeing more, because that show is on Netflix, it's getting more exposure and social media talk, and just as a result of being there, it's getting a lot more exposure, so that's good. And if it's a good show, great, and maybe it'll do well for them, and they'll maybe consider putting money into anime in the future, who knows?
Or they could go, oh my god, this is what it's like dealing with Japanese licensors.
Yeah, I mean, Netflix pays insane amounts of money for their TV shows. So if they decide that they want to get into the anime business, that's going to be a whole lot of money for whoever they decide to partner with.
Which may or may not make them easier to deal with.
Sure, absolutely. But it's a good thing. That is, I see it as just a good thing. I just want to see where it's going to go. Good question. Actually, I'm going to talk about this a little bit. So I'm going to give you this copy of Terra Formars. Maybe it's out? Yes, I think it's out. I just read this. Viz Media just put this out. It is the tale of a bunch of astronauts who get sent to the recently terraformed Mars. It's going to be like the big anime of the fall. It is one of the most racist things I think I've ever read in my life. Super racist. And I'm wondering if they're going to, like, tone that down for the show.
Once you see the aliens.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Anyway, enjoy.
I'm curious, the bars come around, like, really, like, what are you guys interested in? I mean, there's Wabu from Sentai, there's completely one guitar, from Ataplex, some kind of Burger King, where everyone's obsessed with cheeseburgers from the Funimation.
Huh?
What is that one? Devil's a part-timer.
Oh, yeah. Wait, you just mean, like,
fall.
Physical release?
What are you interested in?
In terms of physical releases, like, honestly, my brain functions now on streaming and by streaming season. When it comes to, like, companies putting out physical stuff, I get the notice that a package is coming. I open the package and go, oh, this is coming out. And then I mail it to the critics for them to review. I have to pay attention to stuff when it's streaming now. And I'm excited to see what the critics have to say about, like, the dubs and the production value on the DVD and stuff like that. But when it comes to, like, you know, being excited about an upcoming release, like, physical release, obviously I mentioned before, they won't give a date on Space Dandy Blu-rays, and I really want those. Looking forward to that second Attack on Titan set, because the first one was really nice. I will probably buy the Watamote set, because Sentai doesn't send us things. That's kind of it.
I just put in a massive Right Stuff order, but it was mostly old things like Cat's Eye.
You? No.
I know.
Buying mostly old things?
The new, the short film thing that Sentai just released.
Short piece.
Yes, that was in there, so I was really happy to get a short piece. Aside from that, that's the only thing I didn't make that I see even on my radar for fall at this point, because I'm just like, I don't even know what's coming out until it's out.
Yeah.
I just see the Right Stuff sale, I'm like, ooh, I want that.
You have a take on this?
That was an art thing?
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. I didn't finish it, though, so...
Uh-oh.
Well, I mean, like, I saw the first, like, six episodes, and I'm like, this is funny. But, I mean, yeah, I'd be eager to see it with them, see if that changes. You know, like, I guess how they play with that, because when it's pure comedy, it's like, you know, they get to do a lot of rewrites, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, so it'll be fun.
Okay, well, since you like new releases, I'm going to give you this copy of Servant X Service, the Aniplex show. If you need to fall asleep, turn that thing on.
Yeah! With newish releases like Rebuild of Evangelion or Dragon Ball Z Kai or Sailor Moon Crystal, do you think there is a chance we'll see a resurgence or revival or reimagining of older titles? Like Cash Time, or like Bubblegum Crisis? Do you think these studios choose to do this because it's safe and it knows it will make them money?
Yes, and that's been happening for a while. I mean, we're getting new Fate Stay Night next season. I mean, that show is less than 10 years old. And they're redoing it again.
I meant towards, like, older titles, because, like, the original Dragon Ball Z is from, like, 89.
Who knows what they'll choose to remake next. It's all what they want to give a marketing push to, what they have... what they have the merchandising in the works. That's what's really going to drive it. It's just like, hey, what is going to be a big marketing push for us? Okay, let's make a new anime to push those products. That's what it's going to be.
Well, and you're talking about like the stuff, everything you just mentioned, Eva, Dragon Ball, Sailor Moon. You're talking about pretty much the three biggest properties of all time in the history of the medium. So, of course, they're going to get remade, and there's going to be specialty stores and a gigantic merchandising push. And that's like saying, gosh, I wonder if in 10 years there's going to be another trilogy of Transformers movies. Yeah, probably. Like, and we're going to get Star Wars movies crammed down our throats for the next however many years, because those are the perpetual hits. Those are the big properties. In terms of, like, remaking stuff from, like, the 70s and 80s that maybe isn't like that, that isn't a huge thing... somebody has to be really interested in making it, I think. Like, there's got to be someone at the studio that just loves it and wants to remake it.
It's almost never about love.
Yeah, well, okay. Sure, but in order to get a project off the ground, someone's got to be behind it.
Yes.
And
there has to be someone pushing.
It can't be a total no-brainer, like, in 10 years they say, all right, let's reanimate Dragon Ball Z from the beginning.
Right.
Which probably will happen. At some point. It's only 300 episodes after all, so, you know.
Right. I'm not necessarily against these things, because, you know, more often than not, we get a new take on it, like Brotherhood. Brotherhood. So.
I'm not against any of that stuff. I'm firmly of the belief that, like, remakes don't ruin anything. It's just there. It's not like they went out and burned every copy of The Wizard of Oz when they, you know, put out another Wizard of Oz, or it's still there. You can still go watch the original. I don't understand why people get so bent out of shape about that kind of thing. Like, even if I didn't like the new Evangelion movies, which I like those movies, all of them, even the third one, it doesn't ruin the original show for me. And I don't think it should ruin it forever, but for anyone. Like,
people still like Star Wars.
Yeah, for some reason. Okay.
Big Stay Night, like, it's kind of only up from where it started, I think. Like, little TV shows.
So you asked about remakes, and this has been remade a few times. I'm going to give you G.I. Joe the movie.
The original, all right.
Awesome. First of all, it's good to finally meet you guys, and thank you for everything you do for the fans of the industry.
Well, thanks for coming out.
I have hopefully a short question for each one of you specifically.
All right.
First of all, Hope, you've been doing some pretty good reviews lately on the site, and you mentioned liking Kashiman Crowds on your Twitter, so do you think you'll be ending up doing a review of that?
I mean, get sent that out, right? So, yeah.
Even though it's been delayed to August.
I definitely know less than the old steps that I definitely watch more today, so I'll do that. I mean, yeah, I would like to review Catch My Crowds. I think there's a lot of interesting things to say about it, so I don't know yet, but like that's just so.
For Zach, I wanted to ask what was the. Since you do the preview guides and you often hate it, it seems. What was the show that you watched that you hated the most, but then you stuck with it and you loved it, and vice versa? You started off and thought this was awesome, then you just like it was the dumps.
Started off thought it was awesome. This is a dud. Jeez, that's plenty of stuff. Like that happens more often than the other way around. Actually, that's an easy one. Started off and I said, I think I gave it like a 4 or a 5, and then at the end of it said, this makes me want to murder people and burn children. Sword Art Online. God, talk about just, there's like a big sign that says potential and they just whipped it out, just pissed. Just on my face and on the sign. And, yeah, no good.
There's so many Sword Art Online cosplayers here, and I always wonder, it's just like, do you know what you're representing with yourself here?
Yeah, it's because the sequel starts on Saturday.
I know everyone's excited about that, but I'm just
not sure me.
Why.
Yeah, ugh. But the other way around, I really have to think about that. Like, generally, like, the way I have to consume this stuff is I gotta watch the first episode of everything. I always watch the first episode of everything. I don't always review it, but I will watch the first episode of everything because I need to be familiar with this stuff, obviously, for my job. If something stinks right away, I don't watch it. I will wait until the end of the season, and then everyone will tell me if it's good or bad. And if it's good, I'll go back and check it out. But most of the time, like if something turns, it starts as a turkey and it kind of usually stays there. So I can't give you an example of that right off the top of my head, unfortunately.
Also, I forgot, I wanted to specifically thank you for Can You Survive and leasing the forums with an Iron Fist.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
As for Justin, my question is, so my friend group and I are, I've always been a fan of indoctrinating new people to Garzy's Wing.
The word for that is sadist.
So a few years ago, when Central Park Media went out of business, we noticed that all the rights to a lot of their stuff went up for sale. Now, the original rights to the material of Garzy's Wing did not, but the rights to the dub did, and the packaging. So we had entertained the notion, jokingly for a while, about pooling our money and putting in a bid for the dub rights. So I was wondering, we didn't end up doing it, of course, I was wondering if you happen to know who eventually got a hold of those or if they disappeared into oblivion.
It's debatable whether what they were. What he was talking about is after Central Park Media went under, there was a whole bunch. There's this giant auction for all these anime rights, but it didn't really list in what those rights were. Mostly they were for the stuff that CPM claimed to own, which was the dub or the packaging rights. Worthless, really, because they didn't come with the show, so you couldn't really do anything with them. Those rights, whatever rights are claimed there, ended up in a big vault in a file somewhere at Bank of America. Bank of America probably doesn't even know they have those. In the meantime, the Japanese rights holder probably also has a claim on those rights, and if someone were to relicense the show, why, I don't know, they would probably be okay just, you know, finding the old master tape and slapping them on a new DVD for all to enjoy. It's probably good you didn't waste your money, because really you just would have been feeding Bank of America, who needs that.
Fair enough.
All right, so you mentioned Can You Survive? So I'm going to give you some stuff that maybe you will appreciate specifically. Here's a copy of the Gnome-mobile. And I'm going to give you this. Eliminators, Arena, America 3000, and the Time Guardian.
Excellent.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
All right. Stop it.
That's up.
For all three of you, are there any anime that you consider to be failures that you still admire for their ambition? Like, things that you like what they were trying to do, even though you don't necessarily think they succeeded.
Lots of stuff, actually.
I like what it was trying to do. I think Captain Earth is also kind of doing that. It's like, I like what you're trying to do, but I can't remember his name. I feel like I've said his name many, many times, but I can't remember it at this very moment. That guy has made some great stuff. He basically wrote the story for Fooly Cooly, for Razaphon. He made the Ouran anime what it is, because it's different from the manga in some really, really solid ways. It's more of a satire. He's a really good writer, but he gets over-ambitious sometimes, and, like, Star Driver and Captain Earth are both, like, I want to love this, but he's too many things, like, tries to do too many things, and it gets lost, and too many characters, definitely. So, yeah, I mean, that guy's work in general, it's like, slow down. Slow down, sweetheart.
Yes, admiring for its ambition. I think that just describes a lot of anime where it's they had some really nice ideas, but they can't quite pull it together. I would have to say almost the entire catalog of Shinji Aramaki, where he obviously has some neat sci-fi ideas, but for most of those Appleseed movies, the animation ain't there. It is not there. As much as they want you to think that it's there, it is not. And ultimately, like, they don't go far enough with the themes that they're trying to get across. The Ghost in the Shell Arise is another thing, I think, where I wish they would have just done something a little bit different or a little bit new. I admire what they were trying to do with it, which is, I think, bring those characters in that story to another generation of fans. But it's just not interesting enough, and existing fans of the franchise are going to be bored by that thing. Some of that stuff, especially people working in sci-fi, 3D sci-fi especially, there's so much more they could be doing. But I admire their ambition, but the stuff just doesn't execute.
My favorite example of that is the classic OVA Megazone 2-3 Part 2, which I actually fan subbed back in the VHS era. The character designer Yasuo Uematsu and the director, they were so over the top with the amount of detail that they put into those designs that they were most clearly impossible to animate. And they also tried to animate on ones, which made everything super over smooth and way too, like, it looked unnaturally smooth. So it looks gorgeous about half the time. About 10% of the time, it's mind blowing. And the other 40% of the time, it's like, oh my god, did you get this animated by slaves in, like, Somalia or something? And drawn with their left hand or something. But I kind of admire that much, like, scuff and dirt and, you know, clearly it was a painful birthing process, and I can't help but admire it.
I have a second question. Do you still have robotics?
Do you still have robotics notes in that bag?
Do I still have robotics notes?
Yes.
Oh, you must have seen the photo I tweeted.
Yes.
No, if you want to try and get that, that'll be given away tomorrow at the ANN panel. So, since you are apparently just here for the prizes, I'm going to give you this VHS copy of Silent Mobius.
Nice!
The TV series.
I think that's the movie.
Oh, okay. That's actually almost watchable.
If you have a VCR.
If you have a VCR.
Alright. I have one specific question for Justin, but the rest for all three of you. Which 80s anime would you love to see if we get remade?
80s anime I'd love to see get remade.
That's right.
Like, if it was, like, possible to get remade.
City Hunter.
Yes. City Hunter? City Hunter would just be a lawsuit today.
Because of the North Door.
Let's see. 80s.
Was it Angel's Egg 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That'd be pretty.
Angel's Egg.
I want to see that redone in bad Japanese CG.
Oh, yeah.
So
I want it to look like a PS3 cutscene.
PS2.
I don't know, like, a lot of that stuff I'm not necessarily chomping at the bit, because the part of it is that the 80s aesthetic is great, and, like, it's kind of half the reason you go to it, because it's like, wow, this is such a cool, it's like it's got a patina on it. It's like, it's just fun to watch because it's old, and yeah, that's like half the fun. So seeing a remake would be neat, but
I'd like to see them remake and update Musashi no Ken, you know, the Kendo anime.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so janky the way it was made back then, but it's so hyper-masculine in a way that nothing in Japan is today, that I really, because now in the land of, in the world of willowy pretty boys, anime, I really want to see what hyper-masculine but still attractive looks like, as opposed to, like, that horrible sumo wrestling show that came out last season.
Oh, sumo... Sumo A-hole, as Mike calls it.
Sumo A-hole.
Yeah.
80s?
Oh, 80s aren't my forte, but Angel's Egg is a good answer. I mean, like, I would say JoJo's, but that was made in 1990, and it is being remade, so... JoJo's is my favorite thing from the 80s, so...
Okay, this is not from the 80s, but it's close enough... I found this in the dealer's room. This is a Japanese VHS of Lord of Lords Reunite Volume 3. Man, good luck.
Man, no one wanted that back then.
Yeah.
Hey, I was just wondering, considering certain events that have happened in the past couple days... What has been your biggest con headache so far?
So I showed up for Sentai Filmworks here this morning around like 15 minutes early, and they told me there was no line for press, and that the only people who were being given any kind of priority access are the people holding the premiere passes. I said, look, I'm just here to cover it. Do you think it's going to be a capacity? And they said, no. And I said, well, look, I'm just going to sit in the back. Is it okay? Can I just stand over here? I'm just trying to do my job. And they, you know, and the, to their credit, the convention volunteers were very nice, and they were like, oh, okay, sure, okay, sure. But that's a huge problem for people who are just trying to work. And, like, there were industry people that were getting turned away and, like, made to stand at the back and stuff. And for those of us who work these conventions where we're just here to do a job, we're not trying to, like, get things for free. Like when I'm offered raffle tickets or prizes, I do not take them. I leave those for the people who are here to have fun. That makes it a huge problem, and making everybody just wait at the back of these gigantic lines, and then it takes them 15 minutes to get everyone in the room, and then the panel is, you know, like I was mentioning earlier, way behind. That's sort of the biggest headache for me so far, and the crowding, and the fact that they have cut the hallways in half with these worthless curtains that don't seem to serve any real purpose. So everyone's smashed into that one half of the hallway, and they gotta like redirect traffic, and you're just standing in this hot hallway forever. Like, crowd control here is not great. It just isn't great. And that's been my biggest headache so far.
It never has been great. Like, yeah. That's kind of anime con is that it's just this mess of people that decide to take pictures in the middle of a crowded aisle.
I just walk through it. Literally, I just walk through it. And if they yell, I just turn around and flip them off. Because I am not the one being rude. I am not the one being rude.
That's true. Well, debatable.
I am after I flip them off, yes.
Right.
Any headaches?
I mean, maybe literal headaches because I don't like mornings, but I get up too early in the morning and it's like crowds of people. But I mean, like, no, I mean, I'm pretty okay with AX this year. It's crowded, but that's funny.
All right. You mentioned headaches. So here is a copy of Flint the Time Detective.
What is it?
Old.
Why do you have this?
Okay, so here you go. I was actually really worried that I wasn't going to have a bunch of terrible garbage to give you guys because I only showed up with like one or two bad things. So I was looking through the dealer's room for the last like couple days, like, where's the guy that has the terrible stuff, like, for $3 a piece, you know, where's that guy? And we literally, moments ago, we were walking through the dealer's room, and, like, there, like, Shangri-La appeared. It was like, yeah!
So, VHS tapes, yeah, damn.
Yeah, hey, the VHS was a dollar.
Yeah.
What's up?
With Brian Gibson and Carlos Santos passing their calls on to other people, are they ever going to come back to the guest columns in the future?
Brian, probably not. Carlo, I haven't heard from him in a little while. He mentioned that he wanted to maybe continue doing like convention reports and stuff for us, but his thing was that he just had a 9-to-5 that was just, he got a 9-to-5 that was just taking up all of his time. And he was doing preview guide, regular reviews, and right turn only. All that stuff combined is many, many hours a week. So I totally understood, and he worked for us for many, many years. He was great. And I hope he comes back and maybe does some convention reporting for us. Brian has moved on to the world of video game reporting and works for Topps Robot now. And Answer Man, with Justin working on it, we spent a long time trying to get Justin to do Answer Man. Now that we have him doing it, when he quits, that column's been going since 2000. So it's in its 14th year of publication. And when he decides to hang up the towel, I think it's time to retire it. So guest columns, nah, it'll just take hiatuses. And when he decides, all right, no more Answer Man, it's probably going to be it for Answer Man.
Answer Man's over.
Yeah. yeah, but 14 years, I think the thing has outlived just about every like piece of editorial, like regular editorial on the internet that's like that. Like, dang.
Yeah.
All right, good question. I should probably start pulling stuff out of the good bag here at some point. Here is a copy of the live-action Space Battleship Yamato. It's not bad. I gave it like a B. B minus.
First, I would say I'm also a COSer, and
so,
yesterday, Manga Gamer said they're going to start releasing Ultimate games, and with Free also being like a really big hit recently, do you think like the anime industry is going to start like marketing stuff more towards a female audience, or more like a male and female audience, or do you think it's going to be just like its own like little section of the industry as a whole?
Kind of already is. And anime, the demographic is more or less 50-50, male, female. And, you know, there's obviously stuff that's just for guys, which is, you know, anytime a guy falls into boobs, it's probably safe that that show is for guys. And you have shows for girls, which usually involve a bunch of pretty boys who either really, really want their single, completely unnoteworthy female protagonist to succeed, or are trying to get her to agree to creepy things that she should never agree to. Those are for the girls. And then in the middle, you have all the stuff that is really rather gender neutral. That includes the Shonen Jump stuff. Like, stuff like Naruto. Tell me they didn't redesign Sasuke with Shippuden with the girls in mind.
I haven't seen a single male fan of Haikyuu. I know they exist, but it's all chicks from what I've seen.
Right.
So we were just in Japan 3 months, two months ago, and we would go into anime stores. Like, we went into an anime that's in Shibuya. It was like, I would say 80-20 Fujoshi stuff. Like, just giant displays for every girl show.
This
Amnesia,
summer,
Diabolik Lovers, like a Yowapita pedal.
This
which,
has like 10 Fujoshi shows.
Yeah, it's, yeah, which I, thank God. Like, I'm so happy that it's getting more just 50-50, pander to everybody, give everybody what they want, yeah. And if, like, the guys are going to cry about it, great, because then I can drink their tears. And it's like, nothing makes me happier than hearing, like, Otaku cry about Free. Like, it's so funny. It's so funny. Like, God, man. Like, that's privilege, is crying that an animation studio isn't making something specifically with your taste in mind. Like, dang.
What are all these boy butts doing?
Yeah.
These are supposed to be girl butts.
I will say the stuff that's...
Close up, you can't tell it is.
I will say the stuff that's pandering to Fujoshi, it has... it doesn't seem quite as crass to me as the stuff that's pandering at the dudes.
It's no, just no. trying to maybe be more boring. Like, the good stuff is good on either side, but, like, bad stuff for boys tends to be more crass, bad stuff for girls tends to be more boring, so it's like... Mm-hmm.
As soon as there is an Otome game accessory that plugs in the USB that's basically a thumper...
I'm pretty sure those exist. I'm pretty sure. I just can't imagine it wouldn't. I just can't imagine it wouldn't.
They do.
Okay,
they do.
So there you go.
Okay. I stand corrected. It's just as freaking dirty. All right.
I guess, like, okay, so I wrote, when Free came out last summer, I wrote a short piece on it that says, like, here's why I'm not creeped out by this. Because it's just fun. It's not a power thing. It's not a taking advantage of thing. It's just... sort of campy, kind of quasi-gay, fun silliness, and it's not about power or control. And that, to me, that's just fun. It's just fun. It's not creepy. It doesn't make me feel like anyone's being taken advantage of. And so,
it's just about friendship, mostly naked friendship.
Yeah, right. So I can get behind that. I can handle that. No, that's not good either. I'm just going to stop. Anyway, you mentioned CYS, so you're going to get The Sound of Music Live.
Yeah, they just have Superfan.
I'm not giving away Superfan.
Keep it Superfan.
First, I just wanted to say thank you very much for making the podcast. Helps me go through my work week a lot.
Thanks.
And also, my question was, do you have any advice for people who are planning on starting a podcast? Like, specific, like, do's or don'ts?
The biggest one for me is develop a very, very, very sensitive, almost a paranoia about being boring.
Okay. Yeah. Frankly, at this, like, podcasts seem like they're over. I don't know if that's just my perception of them, but the boom was, like... when we started it, we thought we were behind the curve, and we're in our fifth year. Speaking of which, this is 5 episodes from our 200th episode.
Probably we still have things to talk about.
Often we don't. We thought it was kind of over when we started. If it was kind of over when we started, it's pretty over now.
Just as a hobby, though. Not
if like just this. As a hobby, if you don't care about audience or anything like that, if you just want to get your voice out there, make sure you're on. I still make sure you're on iTunes. Buy a real mic. I would say don't spend less than $100 on a mic. You get what you pay for when it comes to audio equipment. If you're planning, like, were you thinking about, like, using Skype to do this?
Yeah, well, you know, it's just something I would like to do. I've never even really, like, put any effort into it.
Sure.
Yeah.
But if you were to do it, like, you wouldn't, like, so, just, like, from, like, a skeleton of an idea, like, would you do it over your computer, or would you invite people over to your house?
Well, I have a couple of people I can invite over my house, but usually it would be through the computer, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so in that case, look into audio equipment that allows you to effectively, easily, and reliably record Skype audio. Because a lot of people, like, I'm on other podcasts that have been going longer than I have, and they're like, how do you record all Skype audio? And I'm like, you've been doing this longer than me. Like, I have a mixer and a wire, and they don't know what they're doing. So it's a little baffling to me that they haven't looked into it. But just make sure you put money into the production, a little bit of money into the production up front, because if your podcast sounds like crap, then really no one's going to listen. So just keep that stuff in mind. That's a good question, but my prizes are a little dwindling here, so I'm just going to give you this season 4 of Lost Girl, which Funimation keeps sending me these, and I tell them, like, could you not send that? And they're like, no, hey, whatever. So there you go. I don't even know what that is. That's some sci-fi thing.
Hello.
Hey.
So I used to watch anime a lot back when I was young, but
that's a great question. I'm sorry, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I haven't been watching too much because I think some of these animes have been getting a lot more cliche. Mm-hmm. I tried going back watching like new shows like Attack on Titan or Kill the Kill, but either one is the slow pace or the other one is too fast paced and they have a lot of cliches. Mm-hmm. So do you have any recommendations that has a very good story that is well paced, great English, and overall,
understandable.
Do you want to go back to those halcyon days of Naruto's pacing?
So, like, how do I say it? Either comedy or dramatic. Like, I used to watch other like shows like Trigun or comedies like Excel Song. I thought they had great pacing and good theming. So I want to know if there's any anime right now you guys recommend that I can watch. Except two anime, Space Dandy and Beyond the Boundary, because I'm already going to watch those soon.
Well, you threw out Attack on Titan and Kill la Kill, which I think are great shows. I just finished Kill la Kill not long ago, and we did a whole episode on it. I think that show's fantastic.
I saw the whole series as well.
Yeah. Right now, I mean, without a really great idea of like what you're kind of looking for, like you mentioned Trigun and Excel Saga. I mean, getting a time machine to go back to the 90s, I guess.
Yeah.
The stuff you're talking about, like, they don't really make shows like Trigun anymore. That seems like it's from another time at this, which
that
it is.
Super 90s.
Yeah, it's super 90s. I mean, yeah, I don't, that's a tough one.
I mean, comedy wise, you might like, somebody mentioned Devil's a Part Time, where like, you like Excel Saga, you might like that. But I mean, like, it's all sort of a matter of, like, it's a matter of, like, nobody can really just tell you what you like. You just kind of have to, you kind of have to sample it out on your own. Like, try the first episodes of various things that people are buzzing about. And, like, Kill la Kill and Attack on Titan, the two big ones. But if you go into, like, smaller niches, people do talk a lot about Devil's a Part-Time or JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Like, okay, if you want to just be entertained... It's not super fast-paced like Kill la Kill. It's slower because they don't have as much of a budget. But if you just want to be entertained without a moment of, like, oh, I'm bored, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, like, that's... And it's from a different... It's from the 80s. It's not super 90s in style. It's 80s in style, which means it's, like, downright offensive. Like, it's a matter... It's amazing that they, like, remade it, kept all that stupid, like, kind of, oh, my, that's racist and sexist in there. Like, but it's funny. It's all in good fun. So, I mean, like, yeah, maybe try that. It's fun.
So should I go back then, or... Okay, just give me, like, random
enemies
you recommend.
I can't do that, man. No. I can't just sit here and, like, list titles. I'm running low on prizes, but thanks for the recommendation question. I can't give you anything. Have a seat. Sorry about that. Sorry, there's way too many people in line for, like, the number of prizes I have left, so I got to kind of cool it a little bit on that. So it'll be... I'm going to just be extremely judgmental. So. As opposed to usual.
So I've written Hank Hurst.
No. Sorry.
Okay, fine. Anyway,
we used up all our curse words.
So, seeing as people like, I guess you could say, are either enthusiastic or complacent about like remakes nowadays, like during Mazda or Sailor Moon. Do you think 20 or 30 years from now we're going to get like these same complaints of like people trying to like reanimate or recreate like stuff like Bleach and Naruto or like One Piece or some of like the big mainstream stuff right now?
Yeah, I mean...
20 or 30 years.
20 or 30 years is like, it's impossible to say. Wouldn't it be hilarious if like in our lifetime they decide to remake One Piece like from the beginning? Because that show, like, somebody will just be able to yell, what episode is that show on?
640-something.
Okay, 640-something. So that's another 10 years, like, it would be like, okay, we're going to start remaking this, and then 10 years later, people are like, oh, man.
It'll be like when they remake Wind Waker and they put the faster sail on the boat.
Yeah.
Like, One Piece, now with a faster sail.
Yeah, skip all that, skip the filler, I guess. That'll be funny. Impossible to say, but
yeah,
I can't imagine they wouldn't.
Who knows? We have no time machine.
And, one thing real quick, this is the first time I'm listening to you guys, so, like, where do I find you guys online or anything?
AnimeNewsNetwork.com.
Okay, cool.
Just head there.
And can I throw a few bugs out there?
No.
No.
Nice Pokemon backpack.
Thanks.
Bring this along. What do you think the state of like live action adaptations of manga or anime at this point?
Man, Edge of Tomorrow was so good. It was such a good movie.
That stands alone as the only good adaptation of something Japanese. I guess we really can't call it a manga adaptation.
I will stick up for Speed Racer. I like Speed Racer.
For the most part, they're all terrible. Edge of Tomorrow, if you want to include it, is an exception.
I think that bombing is it. That's it. I don't think we're even going to see a stab at it for a while.
Well, it wasn't an anime, and it definitely it was a manga later. It's a Japanese novel.
All an executive has to do if someone brings a pitch into him, and it's based on a Japanese comic book, they're going to say, yeah, Edge of Tomorrow? No, out. that's how they get to say no to these things. So, you know, it does
impact. It actually did okay overseas.
Yeah, it wasn't a huge bomb, but, I mean, even like Pacific Rim was seen as a struggle
right.
to get, and Pacific Rim isn't based on anything, but it was largely seen as being, yeah, it is getting a sequel, but interestingly about Pacific Rim, so Legendary cut, that was produced while Legendary was with Warner Brothers.
Right.
Legendary went to Universal. Warner Brothers owned Pacific Rim as a franchise. They just let it go. They just said, we're not making another one of those, and Universal said, okay, I think to make Legendary happy or something, so... that's only happening because Universal decided to do it. Warner Brothers threw it away. So, I think in the coming years, you're going to see less and less and less of even people talking about live action anime or manga.
To
anything.
To be fair, most of it just doesn't work.
Yeah, most of it just doesn't. It doesn't work. If I find like a magic lamp and I get three wishes, it'll be like perfect health, amazing wealth. And that live-action Evangelion never gets made. Never.
Yes.
Good question. Okay, so this is a callback, and I found it in the dealer's room, and I was happy to find it. Hikai J. What's up?
I'm ready. Already a two-part question. First part. Do any of you have a favorite free character?
My mind just went blank and I can't remember. It's Sharp Teeth.
Rin,
right. I was like, it's not Ray, it's Rin. Yeah, I mean, like, he's so funny. Like, he takes himself so seriously. And you find out halfway through the show, like, you think it's just, the Sharp Teeth is just a stylization, like, oh, he's mean. But they're, like, tailing him at the festival or whatever, and it's like, keep your eye on him. He's the one with the red hair and really weird sharp teeth. And it's like, it's literal. Like, this man actually possesses weird sharp teeth. And it's like, and they want to ship him with people? Like, would kissing him be really painful? Anyway, like, that's... No.
Kissing, how about...
PG-13.
I cut myself off.
all those characters are fun. That's a really solid, fun show, but Rin is the funniest one, just because he's so serious.
Alright, and the second one is, if you had a chance to rewatch any anime and marathon it, what would it be?
Do I not have this chance?
Sword Art Online.
I keep telling myself that someday I would re-marathon Marmalade Boy, but that's never going to happen.
Oh man, I tried to watch that again, and admittedly, we got through like two or three episodes of it, and I was like, Marmalade Boy. Anyway, like I the thought of like 76 episodes of that or whatever it is, I just couldn't.
I'm pretty sure I would just dive right into that septic tank. Just start swimming the backstroke in there.
Marathoning old shows. I haven't done it in a while. I need to do a rewatch of Utena. It's been too long. Like, it's been, like, years. And I didn't get through the whole show when Right Stuff was putting it back out. So I need to... I watched the first set. Now I need to finish 2 and 3. And that's one of those, like, eventually I will get to this. And now that it's the summer and I'm not going to Comic-Con or Otakon, I've got a little time after Preview Guide. So, yeah, maybe I'll get to it. Hopefully.
I need to rewatch Razapon.
Yeah, that too.
For 3 years now. Because I've only seen it through once, and I remember thinking, that was great. And it's been 3 years, and I'm like, I really should revisit it, and I still haven't, so that's like...
Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned marathoning things, so I'm going to give you... this is like... Holy crap. It's like 16 hours of terrible G.I. Joe cartoons. Like... Those aren't like the nice Sunbow ones.
I know these ones.
Yeah, those are the Deke episodes, I think. Go ahead, sir.
I was wondering if you guys have ever heard from the Princess Knight guy again.
We're convinced he didn't know what he, where he was, or what this was, or who we were, and probably hasn't either bought the DVDs of that show or the manga. We're sort of convinced.
Yeah, that guy was on another planet. We were just there for the ride.
I still have a little sound drop MP3 of his, like, hell yeah! Like, I still have that.
You should be using that Morning Zoo style.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got the clips from that Vic Mignogna Werewolf Erotica audiobook for that.
Yes!
But that was RPG-13.
Yeah, all right, yeah, yeah. Okay, so you're
going to... Hey, Werewolf Erotica.
Oh, go ahead, sir, go ahead.
To Justin, because I really enjoyed Zach and Hope and the guys you had on for the Kill a Kill podcast you guys did. But Justin was missing, so I was wondering, have you seen it? And
nope.
Do you have any thoughts?
Okay.
I have no thoughts on it.
I actually asked you. I was like, we're going to do a Kill a Kill show, and you're like, nope.
I didn't have time. I was in Cardcaptor Sakura hell.
Oh, yeah, right.
I was also told that it's like, well, it's, you know, a lot for fans of Gurren Lagann, and I was not a Gurren Lagann fan. I tried real hard. It just did not click with me. So
I'm not sure it necessarily would.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it would.
Yeah, I don't like fun. I especially don't like Gainax fun. So
I think you would get irritated by how many climaxes that show has. Like, there's like 6 endings. And it like could end and you're like, is it a no? There's another one. No, okay, no, they're not done there. Okay, alright. Like, it just keeps ending.
Yeah, you know what? I'll watch Space Daddy. Space Daddy.
Spance Daddy.
Spance Daddy.
But I Kill the Kill, I think I can skip.
All right, here's a bunch of terrible Halloween cartoons. Mummy's Alive is on there.
So, thanks for the podcast. Because, like, sometimes when I'm having a bad day, I listen to you guys.
Do any of you listen to us on a good day?
We cheer people.
Good day or bad day? I was picking up my nephew when I heard the Tour Shark podcast.
So what's
I'm
up?
I'm wondering, when do you think that you'll be finished with Anime News Network? Like, when you're done, like, you turn back the cult to someone, the torch to someone else. Like, how long do you see yourselves working?
I love my job. It puts food on the table. It's a fun job. I honestly, like, I'm so blessed to have this job and this career, and I still love doing it. And it's in spite of the fact that everyone knows I'm really picky about like the anime that I like. I still have a blast. I love coming to Anime Expo. I complain about it, but I love coming. I still love doing this, so I don't have an answer for that. You've already moved on. Like,
yeah,
it's not
much. I've cut way back to what I'm doing for Anime News Network. What I'm doing now, which is Answer Man, Pile of Shame, and occasionally AnCast and a couple other things behind the scenes. I like that stuff a lot, and frankly, I love being Answer Man because I get to explain everything to people. So it's, I don't know, I'm here for the while, for a while. You're not getting rid of me.
Yeah,
I don't want you to.
Since you were so nice, I'm going to give you, here you go, Tiger and Bunny, the movie. This is a recap movie, so sorry.
Oh, it doesn't matter whether I got the prize or not, but it was cool seeing you. Really.
Well, thanks, man. Go ahead.
Speaking of that, cel-shaded animation, like, say, like, little sequence from Toei, what do you think is, like, the best, like, instance of a show that's, like, had a heavy reliance on, like, that sort of cel-shaded CG where it was, like, 80 to 100% of the show.
Cell shaded.
Like, any series or show that's ever had like a really heavy reliance on that.
Yeah.
The guns and machines in Psychopaths were actually pretty good. They have a thing where a robot comes to life and they have to fight it, and that was not good. But most of the other stuff, like in Psychopaths, half of the building will be CG, but the other half is hand drawn. Basically, anytime they meld it, you can't quite tell. But the guns in Psychopaths have their own, like, they are kind of a living creature. And so normally, like, you don't want to CG a living creature. But for some reason, it really, really worked. I never thought, oh, they're holding a CG gun or whatever when it, like, does that, you know, thing. I think Psychopaths was the most successful at like making me forget that there was the 3D model there, because they would just change where it was a lot, and they would hide with the techniques all the time.
One of the first examples of cel-shaded anime that I saw was the OAV Kakarenbo, which, even though it doesn't really look all that great, the dark quality of the lighting and the shading in that show made it not so noticeable, and actually I didn't really even think about it for the whole show, which is really the best thing you can say about cel-shading. And then I saw Tokyo Metro Explorers the next and saw what really bad cell shading really looked like.
Oh, man. Tell you about stuff no one remembers. I think because I wasn't expecting anything from it and the animation was sort of... it was already, like... I wasn't taking the show seriously, but for whatever reason, that cell shaded look on, like, anime girls doesn't bother me in Love Live, and I don't know why. Like, it would totally bother me in, like, every time I've ever attempted to watch Precure, I'm like, ugh, and like, I don't like the Sailor Moon thing, but for whatever reason, Love Live, I'm already laughing at how dumb the show is and like how funny and goofy and crazy it is, that it just doesn't bug me. We got 10 minutes or 15?
10.
Oh, we gotta hurry up. Okay, so I'm gonna make this fast. Here you go, Attack on Titan Babies. That's a thing. Go ahead.
So, given what's come out about the English version so far, and given Disney XD's history with shows like Shippuden, how long do you think Doraemon will last on that network?
9 months.
Is that just how many episodes they've got? Or?
No, I have no idea. But I'm sure they're pushing as much at Disney XD as Disney XD can handle, and they're just like, hey guys, come on. And I give it 9 months.
I don't think it's gonna. I don't think it's gonna last. I just don't.
It's Disney XD.
Yeah, it's just already a deep cable channel, and it's like a show for Japanese children that they're sort of superimposing American stuff on, and you know that okay, fine, whatever. Doraemon never took off here, and no one ever put a lot of stock into it as a popular thing that could happen in America in the first place. So I think they were probably onto something when they were like, I don't think so for the American market, but we'll see. Hey, maybe it'll be a big success.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, totally. Here you go. Here's the complete series of Erica 7 on DVD.
Oh, boy.
This is mostly directed at Hope because she's a JoJo fan.
Nice costume.
Thank you. I was wondering what your thoughts were on the American industry's sudden interest in JoJo, because they've tried several times over the years. Nothing has really happened, but now they're like, oh, we're going to release this manga, we're going to release the game, we're going to stream it, we're going to dub it. And I was wondering what you thought was the reason behind that, also, do you think it will actually take its time?
I hope so. I think it was, I mean, like, I don't know, it's insider baseball, I don't know, but, like, they might know more than I do, but, like, I think it was just a matter of when Stardust Crusaders came out, like, I considered myself a JoJo's fan, but I just had seen those old 8 OVAs. I loved those old OVAs, and I'd seen bits and pieces from the manga, but I hadn't, like, read the whole thing because it's a million years long. And I was like, oh, Stardust Crusaders, that's the best part. And I tuned in for it. And then I noticed there were a bunch of other people tuning in for it. I think the execution of that show is just really solid, and it's gotten a whole bunch of new people to go, oh, this is fun, you know? And, like, I think that's it. I think, honestly, when David Production did the first 2 seasons, it was kind of flat. And then Stardust Crusaders, they're like, let's make this great. And, you know, it's more on the top. Hopefully it succeeds.
Yep. Actually, the answer is it's a Shueisha property. And so only viz can really get it. And so, like Hope said, it didn't really pop into the radar until the new stuff came along. You did get that very, very brief release by Super Techno Arts years and years and years ago of the old OVAs. But that was actually from the original animation producers, APPP Corporation. And they didn't really know what they were doing. And that initiative fell on its face. So.
Okay. Also, what's your favorite stand?
My favorite stand. That's really hard. I mean, I like Polnareff's. Like, that's. I mean, yeah. I guess Polnareff's. I guess Silver Chariot. There we go. Silver Chariot is my favorite, just because it's like it's all speed, and it's like that's why I play fighting games, is just tap buttons. So it's like, you know.
You have a nice costume, and I like your question, but unfortunately, I'm going to give you a copy of Hammer Boy.
I kind of noticed that most modern anime isn't really worth rewatching more than once or twice. Mm. Is there anything that you can throw in the DVD player at any point in time and just be entertained by it?
Recently?
No, I mean, well, anything. I mean.
I will always down for Evangelion. Like I can rewatch that every year and be fine.
I will happily sit in a bathtub of Mamoru Oshii. Pretty much anything.
Too many to name, but it's mostly like big hits like anime and the Attack on Titan. I've now seen like 20 times. There's always been a good reason. I promise to like rewatch episode 5, but like, I keep coming back to it. Yeah, Kill la Kill is probably in that box. Definitely Utena. I've seen that a bazillion times. So yeah.
I bet you're gonna watch this DVD of Wedding Peach over and over again. It's volume 6.
Okay, my question for you is, what are your feelings on animes that don't have a linear time scale, like a show like Bakano or something?
I think you can do that really well if you write it really well, like Bakano. Bakano is one of like the few examples of that where they get it right, I think. Most of the time it's just kind of this confusing mess, and Bakano was based on a light novel, but a lot of light novels are structured that way, and so the anime winds up being kind of a confusing mess that requires you to have read the original novel in order to make any sense of it. So I don't necessarily like that. When it works, like Bakano, it's awesome.
Yeah, I think the worst example I can think of is actually that Silent Mobius movie, which is really, really old. Probably haven't seen it, but that is a very, very pretty jumbled mess.
All right. Here you go. Here is Kami-sama Kiss.
Complete series.
5 minutes. We gotta make it real quick. I gotta get rid of the rest of this crap. Hurry up, hurry up!
Alright, so look, with the news that it looks like Crunchyroll is funding the dub for JoJo, what do you think is the future for more future titles that would be dubbed by streaming sites?
I think that's an assumption that you're making about who is paying for that dub. Obviously, we don't want to speculate either, but I seriously doubt Crunchyroll is the people paying for that dub. That's probably not what's happening. And it's not worth their money for any streaming site to pay for dubs. The idea is to get other people to do it. Yeah, unless you're Netflix. So there you go. Thanks for that. Here is Psycho Pass, the complete show.
All right. So I know Artist for Dead Men Wonderland kind of took a maternity leave,
right?
Is there any hope for a second season or any more sort of talk about anything?
Dead Men Wonderland? I have no idea.
They haven't announced anything.
Don't know, sorry. Here you go. Here's the one dubba style. Ooh, God, just take it. Just take it.
Okay, so when you score anime, you usually consider like 5 different things, like story, characters, enjoyment, like sound and animation. Like, would you think that all of those categories are equal, or would you like say enjoyment is the paramount, like only thing that matters? Because there are people that say like Redline, with it has a simple story, but it has like the best animation like of all time. Like, then you give that like a 10 out of 10.
Okay.
What do you like comparison?
I think it depends on the reviewer. But for me, it's always comes down to story and character and writing and execution of the story. That's always the most important thing, because otherwise I'm not going to get much out of it. Like, animation's great, but if it's just pure animation, I'm not. Like, Ping Pong is a great example. Wonderful animation, puts me right to sleep.
Anime almost always falls down at the writing. That's always the Achilles heel. So when an anime is actually very well written, it's like, yes, finally.
Man. Here's Zion, I Wish You Were Here, Volume 1. They really wanted that to be a thing, but it sure wasn't. Go ahead.
What manga you guys would like to have make into an anime?
Manga.
Yeah.
I hate to say this, but because the content is so... Yeah, but I would like to see them do more Berserk and not in the style of those movies, but just an animated show, just 2D animated, no CG armor, please. But just so I can watch more of that story, because the manga's forever long.
There's actually this old Korean manhwa that we put out on CPM called Couple, and it's like a love story involving Kintaro from Golden Boy, and it's amazing, and I wish it was more of a thing, but it wasn't.
Okay.
I'll pass on
Okay. I'm going to give you...
Have you guys watched, I mean, read the manga called The Gamer?
No, I've heard of it, though. Anyway, we're almost out of time. Here you go. Jormungand, all of it. Jormungand away. What's up?
I'm a total noob with anime. Almost watched nothing. So if you could rewatch a single anime as if you've never watched it before, the first time again, what would you watch?
I'm going to say Redline.
I'm going to say Fat Labor 2.
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I like that I can... I mean, okay, I guess maybe Attack on Titan just to, like... Well, I already know what's going to happen, and I keep coming back to it anyway. Maybe I'd get more out of it if I didn't know it was going to happen. But, I don't know. Like, spectacle stuff, not stuff where you need to, like, Utena. Like, I'm glad that I've seen it 20 times, so on the 21st I'll get more out of it. But so that it's spectacle. You know?
Okay. I only have one prize left, and I was saving it for the very end. And I think we're almost completely out of time, so I just want to know, do we have, like, a really big Sword Art Online fan in here? Like, huge, like, big fan of Sword Art Online. This guy comes up first. Europe? Okay. You get the grossest thing that's ever been in my house. Hug you. It comes with, this is an Asuna toy where you can chain her up in a cage, and it comes with pleading and crying faces. Get it away from me.
Thank you. I love you.
Yeah. Alright, we're finished.
He was way too excited by that.
I just...
FBI, please put him on some list.
Unfortunately, I don't have a bottle of Windex or something to give you with it. So, okay, we are completed, right? We're done. We're out of time. So we're finished. Thank you guys so much for showing up. It was a lot of fun. We'll see y'all. Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to everyone who showed up for the live show. Really appreciate you guys. Theme song's Bucharest by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating or review. We'd really appreciate it. And we'll see you all next time.